This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with your host, Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today we talk with the latest 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest winner, a farmer southeast of Regina near Francis. His harvest is half done. We have the latest crop report from the province, with combining almost three quarters complete. Rain delayed harvest this past week in several areas. Real Agriculture looks at grain markets. We have a farm survey on fertilizer and a look at avian flu issues. The farm weather is in its usual spot.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. A farmer near Francis is today's winner in the 620 CKRM Country Cookout Contest. Vernon and Linda Klein farm 2,500 acres, about 70 kilometers southeast of Regina. Vernon Klein says his harvest is about half done.
We basically started a month ago. We had 400 acres of large green lentils, and it likely took us 6 days to combine them. We just used the one combine, and we kind of pace ourselves. We don't get in a big hurry, and they came off pretty good. We think we got somewhere between 20 and 25 bushel crop, and for the way we operate, that's a pretty good lentil crop, I think.
What would be a percentage done harvest-wise?
Well, I think out here, there's some big farmers right across the street from us, and they're basically done. I think that we're getting on towards half done, and we're sort of waiting for some wheat to dry out. It's durum, actually. We thought we would straight combine it, but the way the weather's been, the straw seemed tough, and our combines are sort of like the drivers. They've had quite a bit of experience already, so it just goes through better if we swath it. So we swathed it here the other day, and now we're waiting for it to dry.
How do the crops look?
Oh, they're pretty good. They're pretty decent, I think. We had quite a bit of rain early in the season, and then it dried up a little, and it grew pretty good, and I think most people are pretty happy with the results. In some cases, the quality may not be as good as they hoped, but I think the production was pretty good. At least at our place, I thought it was okay.
How is the growing season different this year from last year?
Well, we seem to get quite a bit more rain this year than we had last year. Last year we were like turkeys. We were standing and looking at the sky all the time, waiting for it to rain. But we managed. It's pretty good. Pretty good growing season.
When do you hope to wrap?
Well, I think this operation, it'll be quite a while because we have a section of canola that's swathed, and then we have a section of flax that's still standing. And I was just talking to one of the neighbors this morning, and he said that he tried cutting his flax, and he broke two swathers down already. So he's going to let it stand until it freezes a few times. And I expect it will freeze a few times, and then we'll get at it. So it could be another 2-3 weeks, I expect.
Which crop seems to be the best this year, which the worst?
Well, being that we haven't harvested our canola and flax, I can't speak on that. The durum was pretty good. It likely did on towards 40 bushels an acre, and I think our lentils did 20 to 25 somewhere. So the way we farm, that's a pretty good crop. We're quite happy with it.
What's your thoughts on prices this fall?
Well, gosh, that's a tough one. I generally think that maybe they take a little bit of advantage of us in the fall when you're delivering. Some people are forced to sell some. So I wouldn't be surprised that I think I heard on the radio that they expect the wheat price to go up a little bit. But I really don't know. I think we'll have to be content with what we get.
Vernon and Linda Klein farm at Francis, southeast of Regina, and are today's winners in the 620 CKRM Country Cookout.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch Eaves Troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. And your Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. Saskatchewan farmers made limited harvest progress this past week. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says combining is approaching the three-quarter complete mark.
Well, we're currently sitting at 73% of the crop now in the bin, up from 64% last week and ahead of the five-year average of 68%. So not a huge jump, but certainly still lots of crop picked up out there.
Progress by region?
The Southwest is still leading the charge with 96% of their crop now in the bin. The West Central is following up with 89%. The Southeast was 65%. The Northwest was 63%. The Northeast with 58%. And the East Central with 52%. So still lots of crop out there, especially in the East and those northern regions.
What are you hearing about yield so far?
You know, there's been some really good stories out there about yields, even some surprising ones in those areas that we thought pretty dry. Of course, there are some very bad yields out there as well, but some people just got lucky with that rain. So it sounds like many producers in the east half of the province and up into the north are looking at average or above average yields, whereas in those southwest and west central areas, you know, below average or just about average in some areas.
Some areas had rain this past week. Which areas had how much?
Yeah, there's some cool, damp weather across the province this previous week. It certainly slowed down producers, but lowered that risk of rain. Some areas that got rain, Pelly area got about 44 mils, the Melfort and Mooseman area with 30 mils, Lipton with 13, Rosetown with 9, and Vanguard area with 4 mils. So a little bit of rain spread across the province, not too much down in the south half of the province, but quite a bit of rain falling there in the east central and northeast.
What's the topsoil moisture rating?
We're still continuing to drop just a little bit, but for cropland, it's rated as 1% surplus, 37% adequate, 40% short, and 21% very short, followed by hay and pasture is rated as 1% surplus, 28% adequate, 42% short, and 29% very short. So we've seen this decline over the last couple months here, just due to just the infrequency of the rain that we've had.
What were the main causes of crop loss this past week?
The largest ones were lost by wind, you know, so that lodging and that shelling out effect. Waterfowl and wildlife, as it's coming into the fall here, they've caused a bit of damage as well. And then also that drought in the western half of the province has certainly set back producers as well. There were a few frosts across the province, but it's been reported that the majority of our crops have matured past the point of being at risk for that damage. That's very good to hear.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising@realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity. Let's talk markets. We're joined right now by a good friend of the show. It's Brian Voth with IntelliFarm. Hey, Brian, how are you today?
Hey, Sean, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, doing good. So what's your read on the markets here as combines roll?
Well, I guess certainly yields have been all over the map, depending on where you're looking, from, you know, record yields on some commodities in some areas to crop insurance levels in others. So that always makes it a challenge to try and come up with production estimates for, you know, on a national level, and therefore the associated balance sheets that go with them. The one thing I think you can safely assume, no matter what, is obviously we're going to have 50, 60, 70% more production than last year, just because of how horrendous last year was. And that is going to allow demand to pick back up. I'm a little bit skeptical, I guess, about some of the demand numbers that are penciled into the balance sheets right now, whether that's the Canadian, the U.S., or the global side. And I say that primarily because there's a lot of commodities that have record or near record demand estimates penciled in for this year. And yet historically, when we've had other time frames of high commodity prices, the year we come off those highs, demand tends to actually drop, not increase. And just the fact of having record high or near record high prices and then expecting demand to increase flies in the face of everything economics you could ever say. And so I'm a little bit skeptical about that, especially given the fact that demand is not showing up in the market at the rate we need to actually get to some of these levels. So I'm a little bit worried about where these balance sheets end up getting adjusted to down the road, and that could spell some more trouble for prices for us longer term. And I don't think we're at the bottom. I don't think we're at our lows yet. And that may not happen until, you know, over the winter or next spring, whatever, something like that. But this, to me, is still not the new normal range yet.
There's, you know, you mentioned balance sheets. The balance sheet I think a lot of people are really focused on is that corn balance sheet. And, you know, most people saying it is very tight. Do you think possibly it's not as tight as some want us to believe?
It is tight when you pencil in the demand that they're using right now. But again, that kind of flies in the face of economics. High prices are designed to curb demand, not encourage it. So I'm a little bit skeptical. And keep in mind, the true story is going to be what happens with prices, because the balance sheets always lag. If you go back 2 years ago now, when the prices really started to run up in the fall of 2020, the balance sheets were quite abundant on paper, but the prices were running up. And so we kind of looked and said, well, if something doesn't jive here, why are the prices running up when the balance sheets are showing, you know, abundant or adequate levels and decent carryout numbers and stocks to use numbers? Well, then fast forward a few months and the balance sheets get adjusted. And that's the thing to remember. These balance sheets are getting adjusted on a monthly basis. And then all of a sudden it made sense, because demand went up, supply went down. Essentially, the balance sheets got tightened. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. That's why prices ran up. But at that point, prices had already run up or legged up another leg. And now I was like, okay, well, but now these prices don't jive with this balance sheet again. And so you end up having this lagging effect of the balance sheets following the market. And that's, I think, what we've already seen in 2022 is prices have come, you know, off the highs by quite a bit in some cases. And yet the balance sheets are not reflecting that yet. So there's some people out there that are like, well, the balance sheets are really tight, so clearly prices have to go back up. And I'm sitting here waiting or thinking, I'm going to see in 2, 3, 4, 5 months from now what changes are going to get made on these balance sheets that are actually going to justify where prices are at by now. So the market trades in real time. That's the biggest thing to keep in mind. Market trades in real time. So if it looks like, you know, things should be supported and prices should be going up based on the balance sheet and prices are going down instead, pay a lot of attention to things like that, because ultimately you're probably going to see some revisions to those balance sheets in the coming months.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today, cloudy. Wind southeast 40, gusting to 60. The high 16 degrees. 60% chance of evening showers. The low 7. Friday, mainly cloudy. 60% chance of showers. Wind northwest 30. The high 15 tomorrow. The low 4. Saturday, sunny with a high of 20. The low 2. Sunday, sunny. The high 20. The low 4. Monday, sunny. The high 19. The low 6. Tuesday, sunny, the high 24, the low 9. Wednesday, sunny, the high near 28. Normal high is 16, the normal low is 2. The sun rose at 6:44 this morning. It sets at 6:58 tonight. And currently, the hot spot in Saskatchewan is Elbow at 19 degrees. The cold spot, Cypress Hills in the southwest corner, Cypress Hills Park at 4 degrees. Estevan is 15, Saskatoon 18. Swift Current, Weyburn, and Yorkton all 14 degrees. Regina, cloudy and 15, that's 59 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the south, southeast at 39, gusting to 51. Humidity is 39%, the barometer falling 101.9. Cloudy and Moose Jaw 17, winds are from the southeast at 39, gusting to 55. Once again, Regina, cloudy and 15, that's 59 Fahrenheit.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowin Canada before seeding your canola, peas, or lentils. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowin Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. A new survey quantifies the opposition among Western Canadian farmers to a national target to reduce nitrous oxide emissions by the application of synthetic fertilizer. Greg Dunlop is the owner of iFusion Research, based in Guelph, Ontario, and launched the survey. He says his company deals with agriculture, and the survey was not sponsored by anyone.
I've been sort of hearing about the issue and certainly, you know, reading it in the farm press, et cetera, as well. There seemed to be a lot of, you know, strong opinions on it. You know, we got the sense that there was a lot of farmers that are questioning the way that the fertilizer emissions calculations were done and the fear over a number of aspects related to this with regards to, you know, keeping their yields up and everything like that. And so the federal government had a discussion document out, so we decided that we would want to quantify this a little bit, see what farmers are thinking.
The survey was conducted on August 29th via automated phone call. 546 Western Canadian farmers responded to the 9-question survey, 242 from Alberta, 193 in Saskatchewan, and 111 in Manitoba. The first question was, do you agree with the federal government's 30% fertilizer emission reduction target by the end of the decade? 72% strongly disagreed, 11% somewhat disagreed, for a total of 83%. 8% strongly agreed with the emission target, 6% somewhat agreed, 3% said they were neutral. 81% of the respondents stated they were using synthetic fertilizer. Another question was, with the way emissions are currently calculated, are you extremely pessimistic that targets can be reached without impacting yields? 82% said it was not achievable, 7% somewhat achievable, and only 3% very achievable. 8% said they were not sure. The survey found that only one half of farmers were familiar with the 4R Nutrient Stewardship Program. The final question asked was if they trusted the federal government would make it a voluntary measure rather than one that was mandated. 73% had a very low trust, 21% were not sure, 6% believed the federal government.
I introduced that question towards the end of it because I wanted to know, because I know the ag minister has been out and there seemed to be, a real, I wouldn't use the word desperation, but they really wanted to make sure that people understood from their perspective that it was completely voluntary. So I asked the question basically, what do they trust that it'll stay that way? And almost 3/4 of them did not trust that it would stay voluntary, that it would move to some type of mandatory situation with regards to fertilizer use. So there's a lot of mistrust on this particular program in Western Canada, no question.
Dunlop was a bit surprised by the results.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that anecdotally that there was a number of farmers who had issues with it. And like, for example, you know, and I also saw some of the grower organizations sort of speak out against the particular way it's been rolled out. But I was surprised that it was to that degree. Yes, I thought it would be a little bit more split, but it's quite evident that the majority, the vast majority, I would say, you know, from a description point of view, that don't agree with it and think it's going to be tough to meet, etc.
Dunlop was asked why he thinks there's a low level of trust between the federal government and Western Canadian farmers.
I think the real issue is sort of the top-down nature of it. You know, I know they've maybe had discussions with, you know, some organizations, et cetera, but there is a general mistrust because there's a number of things that have happened in agriculture, as you're probably aware of, right? The issue with regards to the, you know, meat labeling and them having to back off that once they got flak on it, their carbon taxes, the new diesel fuel standards that are coming, et cetera. So, And then, you know, on top of that, in Saskatchewan, you had a little incident with regards to federal environmental people sort of going on farms and testing without necessarily the knowledge of the owner. So I think all those things could lead to a little bit of mistrust.
Dunlop believes Ottawa needs to take a more collaborative approach on the issue, using corn production as an example.
Almost 20 years now, I've been involved in doing survey work with corn growers across Canada with regards to the use of BT corn, because the overall concern has always been that overuse of the BT corn would lead to more insect resistance. So they've always had best management practices for that. And it's completely voluntary by the farmer, but the provincial government, extension people, grower organizations, the CFIA, the Food Inspection Agency, who regulates seed, the industry, etc., have sort of all formed a group called the Canadian Corn Pest Coalition. You know, they meet on a regular basis, and the whole concept is, how can we educate, how can we create awareness for the best management practices? And I know from tracking this, because I've been involved from the very beginning, I think the first survey we did was 2001, has greatly improved the adoption of the best management practices. And they work with the retailers and the agronomists at the retailers and the provincial extension people. You know, so they're all out there sort of educating, showing people maybe how to do it as a result of the new technology that has helped. So it's an excellent sort of type of model that if you want to have, you know, if you have a particular goal in mind and you have multi-stakeholders, of doing this without being punitive, without being heavy-handed on it, right? And I think that would be, from my opinion, would be a good type of model to use for this particular area.
Greg Dunlop is the owner of iFusion Research. His company surveyed 546 prairie farmers for their thoughts on a federal proposal to reduce nitrous oxide emissions from synthetic fertilizer 30% by the end of the decade. The survey found 83% opposed.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Diggleman Industries. Look to Diggleman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. New cases of a deadly avian flu are beginning to surface across Western Canada late this summer, and more cases are expected over the next several weeks. As of September 14th, there are 19 infected premises in Alberta, 9 in BC, 8 in Saskatchewan, and 3 in Manitoba. Ontario is also confirming new cases, and the province of Quebec has had ongoing cases of the H5N1 virus since earlier this summer. These new cases, and the ones that did plenty of damage back in the spring, are linked to the movement of migratory birds. It appears this particular strain is especially hard on them. And if they happen to mingle with domestic flocks, that's how it's spreading. Lisa Bishop-Spencer is the Director of Communications for the Chicken Farmers of Canada.
We are expecting to see more cases in the weeks ahead. This is not a surprise for us. We're dealing with a brand new avian influenza virus. It's a virus that was highly pathogenic when it came into our barns, which is new. Usually, low pathogenic avian influenza can exist within wild migrating birds without impacting the bird's health. And then it'll get into the barn and it'll mutate into a higher pathogenic virus. But what we're seeing this year is that it's affecting the wild bird population tremendously. It's a highly pathogenic virus in those wild birds, so it's coming into the barn as a highly pathogenic virus. So this is a brand new situation for us. So we expected that when the birds came into Canada that we would have this situation, but now that they're leaving, we're having it again.
Bishop Spencer has a message for poultry producers.
The key words are biosecurity, and that is really important for farmers to bear in mind. They need to do everything they can to live by the old mantra of, if it's in, keep it in, and if it's out, keep it out.
Lisa Bishop Spencer is the Director of Communications for the Chicken Farmers of Canada. Expect to see lower beef supplies next year as more cattle are going to slaughter in the U.S. A combination of drought in the western U.S. states and short feed supplies are the two main causes. Mark Jakunowski is the U.S. Department of Agriculture Outlook Board Chair. He says the current prices are good and look to improve in 2023.
Currently, prices are strong, so we raised our price forecast by 70 cents per hundredweight. Right now, forecast at $142.80 per hundredweight. We didn't make any change to our price forecast for 2023, but year over year, 2023 compared to 2022, steer prices are currently forecast up $10.71 per hundredweight.
That would be a 7.5% increase for the average U.S. steer price.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update is brought to you by Freeze Thoman Lumber. Since 1956, Freeze Thoman has been your trusted building materials supplier for every type of project. Freeze Thoman in Regina and Fort Capel. Grain prices were showing upward movement in early trading. Viterra prices for canola rose $17.47 at $787.92. One red spring wheat gained $3.60 at $413.99. The rest were unchanged. Durham, $3.99.56. Feed barley, $302.87. Chickpeas, $9.25.95. Flax, $627.67. Lentils, $704.50. Oats, $255.32. Yellow peas, $431.13. And feed wheat, $289.56. At Minneapolis, December spring wheat gained 3.25 cents at $9.67.5 a
RM.
The Livestock Quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock, 842-4574. Now, the latest Livestock Quotes.
Hello, cattlemen. Junior for Heartland Livestock, Yorkton, with your market report for the week of September 21st. A bigger run and offer this week with 2103 in the pre-sort and 460 cows and bulls for a total of 2563. The market on these feeder cattle was steady to stronger with a lot of demand from our buyers row. Here are a few highlights of this week's sale. 760-pound yearling steers, 265. 850 weights at 255. Your 955-pound yearling steers, 233.50. 760 weight yearling heifers, 231. 840 weights at 218.50. And the 940-pound yearling heifers at 220. On the calf market, black steers, 487 pounds at 316.75, 560 weights at 290, 633 weights at 267.50, and the 700-pound black steers at 254.75. On your buckskin steers, 495 at 3.25, 568 at 293, 630s at 278, and your 710-pound buckskin steers at 253. On the red X steers, 565 pounds at 281, 640 weights at 272, and your 708-pound buckskin or red X steers at 260. On the heifer trade, 575-pound buckskin heifers, 237, 640 weights at 235, and the 5 weights at 249. On the black heifers, 485 pounds at 253, 555 at 240, and your 6 weights at 232. On the common bull trade, we saw 350 cows average $1.01. D1, D2 cows, $1 to $1.12, sales to $1.15. D3 cows, 88 to 99. Your light shelly cows, 55 to 78, and your heifer S, $1.28 to $1.55. 46 big bulls average $1.35.50 with sales to $1.51. Producer, sheep and goat sale Friday at 11 a.m. Horse sale to follow at 3. Receiving Thursday, noon to late, and up to sale time on Friday. Also, producers or pre-sorts are filling up fast. Please call ahead to book your consignments. Delivery is Monday and Tuesday by 4 p.m. Once again, this has been Junior for Heartland York, and thank you and have a great day.
And today's Saskatchewan pork prices, $233.99 per CKG.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. And brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. Saskatchewan is once again a leader in several key economic indicators in Canada. StatsCan says Saskatchewan led the nation in investment in building construction, manufacturing sales, and wholesale trade in July. Trade and Export Development Minister Jeremy Harrison says Saskatchewan has the food, fuel, and fertilizer the world wants and needs, resulting in job growth and economic opportunities. Investment in building construction rose 82% compared to July 2021, well above the national average of 15%. The investment totaled $474 million in building construction in July. Wholesale trade jumped 72% in July compared to a year ago, well above the national average of 13%. Wholesale trade reached $4.2 billion in July. Manufacturing sales grew 27% in July compared to July last year, the second highest in Canada. The value of manufacturing sales reached $2.3 billion in July. Job numbers reached a record 581,000 in Saskatchewan, up over 12,000 from last year. On the markets, the TSX is down 123 points to 19,060. The Dow has fallen 41 points to 30,142. Oil has risen 74 cents to $83.68 per barrel. The Canadian dollar is at 74.20 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.